Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, we have 35 days until Easter. Can you believe that? Which means we have 33 days until Good Friday. Now, Easter Sunday, of course, is a highlight in the life of the church and in the life of followers of Christ. You know, I've been talking a lot about polytheism. You know, I just came back from Egypt, and, you know, the ancient Egyptians, much like much of the ancient world, believed in all kinds of different gods, many gods. All these hundreds and thousands of gods. Do you know not one of those gods, not one, became a human being, walked with humanity, lived among humanity, showed humanity how to live and how to love, then went to a cross, died, and then rose bodily again. Not one of those polytheistic gods ever did that. And so Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is a highlight for followers of Jesus Christ. It is our Super Bowl, you know. It is our highlight. It is our hope. Jesus is our hope. But on the way to Easter is the cross, Good Friday. We are in the season of Lent, and we are to focus on the cross. Why? Because the Scriptures call us to focus on the cross. Turn to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to read some pretty difficult words that Jesus taught. These are not easy words. Jesus gets to the heart of what it means to be a follower of His. And He lays it right out here for us pretty clearly, but that doesn't mean it's easy. These are pretty difficult words. These are heavy words. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 22. And Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Verse 23. Then Jesus said to them all, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Me," and that's key, "for Me will save it." Verse 25. "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, Jesus never lies. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." So I came across a list of things that people absolutely hate doing. I'll just share with you five of the things in this survey that people stated they absolutely hate doing, and I'm sure you can identify with one or perhaps all of these things. Number one, unclogging the toilet. Absolutely hate doing that. Has to be done, but it's not on anyone's favorite thing to do list, right? Number two, picking up dog poo. Ugh. There was a time when we had a dog and nobody in our house liked picking up after the dog. Not on anyone's fun list of things to do, right? Number three, talking to the salesperson at the door. Especially if they're pushy, you know. I don't mind so much if they're not as pushy, but if you get a really pushy salesperson, it gets old really quick, right? Number four, moving. Oh, who here finds fun and pleasure in packing up all those boxes and picking them up and moving? It is not fun. No, not at all. Some of you have done that recently, and it is not a delight. And finally, everyone's favorite, paying bills. Boo. Nobody likes paying bills, right? Not fun, but it has to be done. So as I mentioned, the title of this series is Lead Me to the Cross. And not only do I want that to be the title of this series, I want that to be our prayer. Why? Here's why. Because our natural proclivity is not to run to the cross or not to choose to embrace the cross. What we tend to want to do is gravitate towards that which is fun and pleasing and comfortable. We would rather be sitting on a beach in Cancun somewhere than unclogging a toilet, right? We would rather be sitting in our favorite chair watching our favorite show rather than picking up after a dog, right? We would rather be eating a delicious, scrumptious meal than talking to a pushy salesperson, right? We would rather be somewhere nice, reading a riveting book, than packing up boxes and moving. We would rather go to an amusement park and have fun rather than paying bills. You see, our natural proclivity is towards ease, comfort, fun, delight, joy. We as humans do not tend to gravitate towards that which is difficult or unpleasant or not pleasing. And so by nature, none of us really want to gravitate to the cross, right? Because the cross represents hardship. The cross represents difficulty. Ultimately, the cross represents death. And so my prayer for me this season of Lent, and I hope it becomes your prayer as well, is, Lord, even though I don't want the cross, your word tells me, Jesus teaches me that I must take up my cross if I want to follow Jesus. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. I love when Jesus makes it easy for me to preach a sermon, because my four points come directly from his teaching right here. First, Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple, you have to decide if you're going to follow Jesus Christ as his devoted disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows wholeheartedly after the teacher. You have to decide that Jesus is going to be my everything. That I am going to walk, eat, breathe, sleep, everything Jesus. I have to be consumed with everything that he is. I need to learn from him. I need to worship him. I need to communicate with him. I need to be in relationship with him. I need to grow in him. You have to decide, am I going to be a disciple of Jesus? And then you have to decide, what kind of disciple are you going to be? Are you going to be a fair-weather disciple, or are you going to be in this thing 100%? Because as we all know, there are fair-weather disciples, right? There was a time in Jesus' ministry when he gathered a large crowd of people. I mean, why wouldn't he? He was teaching amazing things. He was healing the sick. He was doing remarkable things, and people gravitated to him naturally. Then when Jesus began teaching things like this and talking about the cost of what it means to follow Jesus, how they had to give up everything to follow him. You know what the scriptures teach? The scriptures tell us that a large number of those who were disciples of Jesus turned away because it began to be too difficult to be a disciple of his. And so you got to decide. Number one, am I going to be a disciple of Jesus? And number two, what kind of disciple am I going to be? Am I going to be a teachable disciple? Or am I just going to be argumentative? Am I going to learn from Jesus and apply what he's teaching me? Or am I going to want things to be my way? I would hope that everyone in this room would say, I want to be a 100% wholeheartedly sold out disciple of Jesus Christ. That is what I want to be known for and identified as. You see, our culture tells us that we have to have whatever labels the culture tells us, you know. You've got to be Republican or Democrat or independent or the thousand other labels that are out there. When all is said and done, there's only one label that matters. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? That is the one label that matters. I'm thrilled. We've got some really neat young men who are just pursuing Jesus, wanting to be disciples. I met with Tyler last week. Tyler wants to be discipled. He's never been discipled before. You know, he was baptized a few weeks ago, and he's a great young man. And not only that, but he's open. He's hungry. He's learning. He wants to be accountable. He's never had that before. Thank you, Tyler. I'm excited for what God is doing in you. Matt's not here today, but he's another young man who's on fire for Jesus. He's a disciple. He wants to learn. He wants to grow. He can't get enough of Jesus. I see Ridgely back there. Another great young man. Why am I saying young men? Because it's hard for a young man to really be focused on Jesus. But when God gets a hold of a young man's heart in particular, every heart matters, but a young man's heart, that's exciting. Because God is going to take that young man's heart or that young lady's heart and do amazing things in and through them. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." That's how you know if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are hungry and thirsty for the things of God. You can't get enough of God. You can't get enough of His Word. You can't wait to come to church. You can't wait to be with other believers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's the mark of a true disciple. So Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, they'd first have to decide, are they going to be my disciple? The second thing Jesus says is that they must deny themselves. It gets a little trickier because we can't follow Jesus if we still are following ourselves and our desires and what we want. We've got to come to that point where we desire what God wants more than what we want. We must deny ourselves. Now, modern day America, much like most every other previous culture that has come before us, we are a very hedonistic culture. We run after pleasure, entertainment, sports, you name it, it's out there. Why do people flock to Las Vegas? We are a hedonistic culture. If we want it, it's out there. And yet Jesus says you can't be like that if you want to be a true disciple. You must deny yourself. You must deny what you want in favor of what I want for you. To get to that place, you've got to put God first and the needs of others before yourselves. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is a good example of what it means to deny yourself if you want to follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38. Jesus is teaching and he says this, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see, to deny yourself is to put God first and others before yourself. Let me tell you the story, true story of what happened many years ago in New York. It's the story of 31-year-old Julio Diaz. He was a social worker who would end his hour-long subway commute to the Bronx one stop early so that he could eat at his favorite diner. Well, one night when Julio stopped at the number 6 train and entered the deserted station, something unexpected happened. He was headed toward the stairs when a teenager suddenly appeared before him and whipped out a knife. When the assailant demanded Julio's money, Julio calmly handed him his wallet. But then, as the young robber turned around and started walking away, Julio called out to him, and he said, "Hey, wait a minute, you forgot something. If you're going to go out and be robbing people for the rest of the night, you might as well take my coat to keep you warm." And this young kid was dumbfounded. He looked at Julio with a what-in-the-world look, and he asked him, "Why are you doing this?" Julio told him, he said, "Hey, if you're willing to risk your freedom for a few dollars, then I guess you really need the money." Julio told the young kid that he was on his way to go get dinner, and he said to the kid, "If you're hungry, hey, you can come join me." They went to the diner together. They ordered a meal. Several of the employees came and saw Julio. He was a regular there. Even the dishwasher came and said hi. And this young kid just was dumbfounded. And the young kid looked at Julio and said, "Why are you being so nice to everyone? And why is everyone being so nice to you?" And Julio asked him and said, "Didn't anyone ever teach you to be kind and courteous with people that you come into contact with?" And the young kid said, "Yes, but I didn't think people actually did that sort of thing." The conversation turned a little bit more serious when Julio asked the young kid what he wanted out of his life. The boy didn't give much of an answer. When the tab came, Julio told the kid that he was going to have to pay for the bill because he had his wallet, unless he wanted to give his wallet back, in which case Julio would gladly cover his meal, at which point the young kid quickly handed him his wallet. And Julio paid for both their meals. And then he gave him a $20 bill and said, "I imagine you could use this." He also said, "Hey, I'd like to have that knife." And without even thinking about it, the kid handed him the knife. And Julio took it and put it away. As Julio was being interviewed, he said these words. He said that treating people right, regardless of how they treat you, is the simplest and most promising prescription he knows to bring people hope and to make this world a better place. You see, Jesus said that if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves. We do that by putting God first, others before ourselves, and then ourselves last. Jesus went on to say this. He said, if anyone would be my disciple, they must deny themselves and take up their cross monthly, weekly, daily. It's right there in our Bibles. If anyone would come after me, they must take up their cross daily. Somehow we got this crazy notion that because we have church services once a week, that our Christian faith is once a week, right? No. This is a daily, day in, day out, moment by moment walk with Jesus. You know, as you know, I just came back from this incredible trip. We flew from here to Salt Lake, from Salt Lake to Paris, and then Paris to Cairo. You know, Paris, many, many years ago, used to be a Christian nation. And now they're a secular nation with Islam growing. Egypt, many, many years ago, used to be a Christian nation and now is an Islamic nation. When we were in Paris, we were sitting there waiting for our flight, and I noticed a man get by the window, pull out a mat, get on his knees, take his head, put it all the way down, and was in that posture of prayer for quite some time. Muslims are required to pray 5 times a day. If you want to be a good Muslim, you're supposed to pray 5 times a day. What does that mean? It means you do what that guy did. You stop what you're doing, wherever you're at, and you get down on your, not only your knees, but you put your head all the way down and you pray. 5 times a day. I can't even get some Christians to come to a prayer meeting for 1 hour a week. The neat thing is, there are Christians who do take this seriously. And they pray what's called the Liturgy of the Hours. And so there are Christians who will pray 6 times a day. 6 in the morning, 9 in the morning, noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. You say that's too much, and it could very well be. So pick one. Set your alarm clock. Set it for noon tomorrow. And your alarm goes off at noon. Beep, 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 beep. You push stop. You stop what you're doing. You turn off the TV. You take a break from work. Get to a private place and pray to God for a little bit. And you do that for a while, then you can add 9 in the morning. The point is, this walk with Jesus is to be a daily, moment-by-moment rhythm as we are caught up in the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, lead me to the cross. Because if you're not leading me to the cross, we know that the enemy is going to lead me to a whole lot of other places. And so help me, Lord, to stay focused on you morning, day, evening, and night. Lead me to the cross. Then Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me and die. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Lord, lead me to the cross so that I can put to death anything that is not of you. I want to show you a word up on the screen. This is a word you're familiar with. This is the word Christianity. It's a beautiful word. This is our religion. This is our faith. We are Christians. We want to be disciples and followers of Jesus. Christianity. What happens if you take Christ out of Christianity? You just have ianity. That's actually a real word. If you look it up in the dictionary, ianity is an actual word. What does it mean? It means the quality or state of being inane, which is pointless, shallow, lack of substance, or empty. So you take Christ out of Christianity, you have inanity, which is just a nothingness, a shallowness, an emptiness. And can I tell you, that's where our culture is? Our culture is empty and void and meaningless without Christ. So, in the absence of Christ, what we tend to do is put something in its place. And generally what that something is me. So, let's try an experiment. So if Christ isn't in Christianity, I put myself in its place, and I have a new religion called Johnianity. And I do what John wants, right? Well, it's not as exciting as it comes out to be. Let's try another experiment with another name. Tyler! Tyler-anity. That sounds like a new fun religion, right? But what happens is, if Christ isn't in our lives, we put ourselves in his place, right? Let's try another one. Samuelanity. Samuel, how's it going back there? Just because you're back there doesn't mean I don't see you, right? You see, if Christ isn't in our lives, we tend to elevate ourselves and put ourselves in the place of Christ. Let's try another one. Hi, Micah. Micah-anity. I don't know, that sounds more like a cult than it does a religion. But you see, if Christ isn't in our lives, we elevate ourselves. My selfianity. See what I'm doing, right? But what belongs there, what gives life meaning and purpose, is Christ. We are Christians, followers of Christ. He must be our all in all for life to have meaning and value and purpose. You see, for without Christ, we elevate ourselves to the throne. And it may sound sexy and it may sound appealing, but in the end, it is completely meaningless. Only Christ takes us to the place, to the point where we have purpose and meaning and abundant life. So however much we want to resist the cross, we can't if we want Christ to be supreme in our lives. One last verse in Galatians 2:20. Turn to Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who lives. Johnianity is dead. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? May your prayer be, as my prayer is, this season of Lent and every day. Lord, lead me to the cross. May my identity be not in myself, not with any political agenda, not with any worldly agenda. May my identity be firmly rooted in Christ.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.